Let us offer our most prayerful and loving salutations at the lotus feet of our most beloved Bhagwan. Dearest Lord, please bless us so that this heart which is full of love for you only grows in love and devotion for you and sees you in everything around all the time. With this prayer, let's move on and welcome to this fresh episode of Radio Sai Bhajan Classroom. The bhajan we are going to learn today is an adoration of our beloved Bhagwan as the one who came down earlier as Lord Rama and Lord Krishna. And now here with us as beloved Sai Rama and Sai Shama. Here is the first line of the bhajan.
Sai Ram Ghanshyam Bhagavan तुम्हारा नाम।
So this is what we will learn now, and like always, let's get familiar with the lyrics and then we'll move on to the tune, the raga, the beat of the bhajan, and then we'll listen to a conversation with Brother Balram Chandran, a former student of Bhagwan's university, who shares what this bhajan means to him and how powerful is this bhajan in helping us connect to Bhagwan. So let's get started with the lyrics.
Sai Ram Ghana Shyam Bhagavan Tumhara Naam Tum Bin Koi Nahi Rakhwale Tum Bin Koi Nahi Aapat Sahare Tum Bin Prem Koi नहीं देने वाले तुम हो मेरे आत्मा राम बाबा भगवान तुम्हारा नाम साई राम तुम्हारा नाम.
Now that we know the lyrics, let's move on to the most important aspect of learning how to sing this bhajan. Let's hear Brother Ravi Kumar and Brother Anirudh give us a beautiful demonstration.
This bhajan is being sung in the scale F Pancham.
Sai Ram Ghanshyam Bhagavan Tumhara Naam.
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 Tum bin koi nahi rakhwale.
Tum bin koi nahi rakhwale.
तुम बिन कोई नहीं रखवाले.
तुम बिन कोई नहीं रखवाले.
तुम बिन कोई नहीं आपत सहारे.
तुम बिन कोई नहीं आपत सहारे,
तुम बिन कोई नहीं आपत सहारे,
तुम बिन कोई नहीं आपत सहारे,
तुम बिन प्रेम कोई नहीं देने वाले,
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 तुम हो मेरे आत्मा राम बाबा,
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 भगवान तुम्हारा नाम,
भगवान तुम्हारा नाम,
साई राम तुम्हारा नाम,
साई राम तुम्हारा नाम,
साई राम घनश्याम, भगवान तुम्हारा नाम।
Such a poignant bhajan. Those of us who understand Hindi, this is a bhajan which makes you really call out to the Lord, because you are telling Him that He is the only one who can fill us with the love that we really want. And when you think about the tune, it is so beautifully amplifying this sentiment. So let us learn a little more about what went into making this tune so appropriate to this bhajan. Brother Anirudh is here with us in the studios. So tell us, Anirudh, what are your thoughts on the make of this bhajan?
Saram Bishu. It's a beautiful bhajan melody, and as you said, the blend of everything, that is the lyrics, the tune, and the bhava, the feeling which comes, it makes it really, really wonderful. And especially the lyrics, I really like them, and this is one of the very favorite bhajans of mine. In this bhajan, actually, I really go by the feel of the bhajan, the way it is composed. I mean, how the composer gets the tune just by calling out to the Lord, or how the God gives him the tune, or because if I try to analyze this bhajan, break into each line and which raga it belongs to, it's a really tough exercise, as to, because it's a composition where it's a mixture of all many ragas. And maybe I can say the first two lines sounds like Bilawal, the Shankara Varnam.
Sare ga ma pa da ni sa ni da ba ma ga re za Sai Ram Ghanashyam Bhagavan Tumhara Naam.
Just pure Shuddha notes. And
Tum bin koi nahi rakhwale, तुम बिन कोई नहीं अपनी।
So there is a different note which is coming in, which is the komal ni, which adds a beauty to the whole composition, making it the rag kamaj.
Okay.
Or the hari kamboji in the Carnatic classical music. And as you proceed further, you have
Tum bin prem koi nahi dene wale.
This even sounds like Desh to me, Raag Desh.
Sari ma pa ni sani da pa magare sa.
And the next line,
Tum ho mere atma ram baba.
The Tivrama.
Ma 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 pa pa re ga ma da ma ga.
This sounds like Raag Behag, which is in the both streams of music.
Ne sa ma ga pa ma ni da sa ni da pa ma pa ga ma ga.
So you have both the knees.
Sa ni da pa ma pa ga ma.
Both the ma's as well. So in this bhajan, the beauty is that both the ma's are used.
Tum ho mere ma 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 pa pa re ga ma.
That is the first one was the Tivra Madhyamam and followed by the usual Madhyamam which is used in Bilawal.
Re ga ma da ma ga.
And then you merge back to the Bilawal.
Bhagavan tumhara naam.
So it's really what I can conclude is that I'm sure God has just given the tune just like a flash to the composer. And in the flow, as and when he was composing the lines, and he has just made a connection and gone to the next line, next tune. So breaking it into, okay, let me compose the line in the next, can I introduce the Behag or next, then this Kamaj, and it takes a lot of effort.
Definitely, and it has not happened that
yeah,
way.
Yeah, I'm sure it is
just an expression of that longing for the Lord.
Exactly.
And, you know, letting Him know that how much He means to you, and, you know, whatever ragas just came in, the ragas chose.
Exactly.
To be part of this bhajan. Yeah. Whichever raga, whichever swara.
Exactly. And I really wish that, or maybe I can tell the listeners that they can just maybe feel the tune, just in case if they want to play in any musical instruments, they can really pick up the tune and play. But if you start analyzing as to like,
yes,
from which is the next note, this or this, I mean, it goes into a lot of technical details, I feel, which... Yes. Crosses that line of a feeling for the bhajan.
Yes.
So
yes.
Some bhajans need to be just enjoy the expressions.
That's what makes them so soulful.
Exactly. So this is one of the very right apt bhajan, Sairam Ghanashyam.
Wonderful. And I think all the outpourings,
bhajans especially.
Especially bhajans and even the kritis, isn't it? There are many kritis where, you know, be it Saint Tyagaraja or or Mirabai, you know, they have just sung trying to say something to the Lord.
It's a spontaneous blend of the lyrics, the tune and the bhava.
Yes.
That's a real composition.
But the overriding factor for the composition is the bhava. Everything else just has happened, whatever just needs to fall in place to express the bhava.
Correct. That's very true. Yeah.
Wonderful. So I think there are a lot of bhajans, isn't it? In Bilawal, you have plenty of bhajans.
Yeah, Bilawal, you have...
Bada chitta chora vrindavana sanchara.
It's a kamaj. Yeah. Of course, it's a blend of kamaj and Bilawal. And also you have... in Behag, I'm reminded of a beautiful bhajan, which is...
Naam bhajo hari naam bhajo.
Which is, I feel it's rarely sung in mandir. Talking of the Raag Behag, I'm reminded of a composition which Srimati M.S. Subbalakshmi Madam used to sing.
Adharam madhuram.
Oh, wow.
Vadanam madhuram nayanam.
It's a beautiful Madhurashtakam composed in Behag. And I really... recommend all listeners to go and listen to that rendition of M.S. Subbalakshmi Madhurashtakam in Raag Behag.
Wonderful. I guess once we take every line and do the swaras, we'll experience the beauty of the bhajan more.
definitely. So let's go to the first line.
Yeah.
Sai Ram Ghanashyam Bhagavan Tumhara Naam Sani Pare Gari Saga Gapa Ma Gari Rigari Sani Sa
Sani Pare Gari Saga Gappa magari rigari sani sa
Tum bin koi nahi rakhwale Gamare gamama Gamare gapapa madapama
Gamare gamama Gamari ga pa pa ma da pa ma
Tum bin koi nahi aapat sahare Ga ma da 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 pa ma ga ga pa da ni ni da pa ma da pa
Ga ma da 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 pa ma ga ga pa da ni ni da pa ma da pa
तुम बिन प्रेम कोई नहीं देने वाले नी 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 सनी सा पाप दनी रे नी दनी
नी 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 सनी सा पाप दनी रे नी दनी
तुम हो मेरे आत्माराम बाबा म म प प प रे ग म द म ग म
म म म प प प रे ग म द म ग म
भगवान तुम्हारा नाम Gappa magari rigari sani sa
Gappa magari rigari sani sa
Sai Ram tumhara naam Pasada magari Rigare sani sa
Pasada magari Rigare sani sa
Beautiful. It sounds so melodious when you hear the swaras. So Aniru, tell us about the beat of the bhajan.
The beat of this bhajan is 8 beat, which is the Aditalam in the Carnatic classical music, also called as Keherva in the Hindustani classical music. The count is 1 2 3 4 1 2 3 4 1 2 3 4 1 2 3
Sairam Ghanashyam Bhagavan Tumhara Naam
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 That was nice. Thank you very much, Anirudh and Arvind Sai.
Thank you, Vishu. Sai Ram.
Sai Ram. Sai Ram.
And now in the next part of this Bhajan classroom, let's move on to contemplate
on the bhava aspect of this bhajan. Brother Balram Chandran, an alumnus of Bhagwan's university, who had the opportunity to sing in the divine physical presence of Bhagwan way back in the 90s, and also regularly sings in Bhagwan's abode in Chennai, in Sundaram, he shares his insights about this beautiful composition. Sairam, Brother Balram Chandran, and welcome once again to Radio Sai Bhajan Classroom. And I'm sure the bhajan that we are going to discuss today is something which will gladden your heart, because this is such a special bhajan. This is a bhajan which so many devotees relate to so beautifully. Yeah. Because perhaps it connects to their heart, it connects to their prayers, isn't it? Sai Ram Ganesham Bhagavan Tumhara Naam.
Yes. And yes, what's even more heartwarming for the devotee is the next line. When you say, Tuma bina koi nahi rakwale, Tuma bina koi nahi aapat sahare. So because you're the only one who actually can come to our rescue. In fact, if you see, generally there are bhajans where you refer to Swami as aapat bandhava, as Swami as somebody who is Dina Bandhava. Here, this bhajan goes one step further. It also says, Tuma bina koi.
Yes.
Besides you, there's nobody.
Nobody.
That, I think, takes it one step forward. Because the other one is like saying, okay, I've got, you know, three lines of defense, of which you are one. But here, no, it's almost like saying he's very, yeah. It's almost like reminding, see,
yes.
Swami, you're the only one, so please don't, you know, let me down now. And I am, you know, I think only the devotee has got this, you know, wonderful audacity to say this to the Lord. And I think the Lord puts this up, you know, when it comes from a devotee, puts up with this, you know, when it comes from a devotee, he would do that. So you take it one step forward and say, you're the only one, I don't have a backup. And thus, you're the only source of refuge. Because I got an opportunity to visit the Institute for some work. Last time I had some, that also gave me the opportunity to have some wonderful discussions with some of, you know, our alumni brothers who are still working in the Institute. My purpose of the visit was to do some, you know, we were doing a workshop, a management development workshop. It was a personality development workshop where we were discussing various aspects of human behavior. So there was one very beautiful thought which came out, brother. In fact, one of our brothers was mentioning this, who works in the Institute. So I was actually telling him that when a baby is born, a human being is born as a baby, you are in a state of dependence, complete dependence. Because what happens is, for everything, right from, you know, eating, bathing, you're dependent on somebody. You can't do anything on your own. Now, as your personality develops, you move from a state of dependence to a state of independence. So that's supposed to be the first milestone in your evolution. Now, when this point about independence was made, this brother made a very beautiful remark. In fact, he shared something with Swami. He had said, you know, he said, generally we say independence, you talk of free will and you talk of taking things into your own hand and things like that. Now, sometimes that idea sounded very conflicting to me, because on one side you say, you know, Swami keeps saying that you're like the cow which is tied to a pole. You have very limited freedom, and ultimately it's the divine will which prevails. You know, on the face of it, it looks contradictory. So when in the management literature you hear about moving from dependence to independence, you start wondering, I mean, is it really making sense from a spiritual point of view? But he shared this very beautiful insight shared by Swami. He said, independence, Swami in his typical fashion had split it into independence. Independence is equal to in plus dependence. In as in inside.
Yes.
So independent person is somebody, yes, who's dependent on the resource which is inside him.
Exactly.
Which is your Atmaram. Absolutely. Which is the end of this bhajan. Tumho mere Atmaram Baba.
Absolutely.
So beautifully, if you see, no, in your independence also, there is a dependence on
dependence,
him.
Yes.
That I think
that is what is true independence.
That is what is actually true. Beautiful. It is so beautiful. It's not about, you know, breaking free in that sense.
No.
It's not beyond going beyond his control, going beyond his purview, going beyond his radar, because that is not possible.
Not possible.
He's, you know, nowadays you have a lot of call drops which happen with mobile phones. I think his tower is one tower which never drops any calls. Each call reaches there. Like they say, he listens to everything. He listens to even the footfall of an ant. So independence, real independence, I think when you are dependent on the one who's inside,
yes,
I think that's when. So because tuma bina koi nahi rakwale, tuma bina koi nahi aapat sahare, tum ho mere Atmaram Baba. So beautiful, no?
Absolutely.
So I am now dependent, I don't have anybody, I'm dependent on you, who am I? Atmarama, the one who's inside.
What is so beautiful about this bhajan is
this whole concept of outside, inside and deep inside.
Deep inside.
In the sense that, you know, when you start the bhajan, it appears as if you are telling Lord, you are the one. You know, you are the one who is protect me. You're trying to connect with the Lord who is outside of you.
Yes.
You know, you're saying, Swami, who is there somewhere in the cloud? Swami, who is there? You know, you look up to the heavens and you pray for that Lord to come and rescue me. You know, I'm in a problem. Whenever I have a problem, you're the one who comes out from nowhere. From wherever you are, I don't know. But you are the one who comes and rescues me.
Yes.
But finally, it tells so beautifully, it says that, you know, I'm not appealing to anyone outside. I'm basically appealing to the one who is inside. I'm appealing to that higher self of me only.
Oh, yes, brother. Absolutely.
That is what
In fact, now they're saying is I'm actually wondering whether somebody whichever person through which Swami composed this bhajan, I wonder whether that person actually had Draupadi in mind. Because if you see the entire sequence of the bhajan.
Exactly.
Sai Ram, Ganeshyam, Bhagwan Tumara Naam. And then first, it's all appeal outside.
Appeal.
Tum abhi na koi nahi rakwale. Tum abhi na koi nahi aapat savhare. Tum abhi na koi nahi prema. You're the only one, you know, who gives me true love. And then all that does not work. And if you remember, Swami tells that story. She says, Mathura Vasi, all that. And then finally, she says, Hridaya Nivasi. And that's when he responds, when the resource is available inside.
Yes.
So I think that independence is actually what, you know, really freed her at that point of time. So I think finally it sinks that, why am I searching outside? He's actually there inside.
Yes.
And then when that call comes, and then finally the realization comes, saying you're inside only.
Yes.
So what am I doing calling you outside?
Yes.
Because that's why if you see that line is the most beautiful line. It comes towards the end. It's, you know, when the devotee realizes after calling outside that the resource is there inside. The beautiful, you know, analogy of the musk deer.
Absolutely.
Which keeps searching for the beautiful fragrance outside only to realize finally that you're inside. In fact, this is one more thing I realized, brother, is, you know, this state of independence or independence. Generally, you know, slavery or being dependent on somebody is considered to be, you know, something which is very constraining. I think the only exception is when you are dependent on the Lord.
Yeah.
You're a slave of the Lord, then it becomes a matter of joy.
Yes.
You say it very proudly. And I think it's not just for, you know, sadhakas like us who are still advancing. Even if you take Swami Vivekananda, there's a verse he composes where, in fact, if you see the entire mood of the verse, it's like he's sitting all alone. And remember, he had this big mission to fulfill, Swami's work to do, and absolutely no resources, because at that point of time, the mission and the organization didn't exist. He had to build it right from scratch, totally didn't know how to do it, how to go about it. There's a beautiful verse where he says, Bhaktir bhagascha bhajanam bhava bedakari gatyanchalam suvipulam gamanaya tattvam vaktro dhritopi hridaye nachabati kinchit tasma tvameva sharanam mamadina bandho. He says that I talk about bhakti, I talk about bhajanam, I talk about, I also know that bhakti and all this can actually, you know, bhava bedakari, can actually release me from the bondage of the world. He says that while I talk about all this, bhaktro dhritopi hridaye nachabadi kinchit. Imagine Swami Vivekananda saying, though I talk about all this, it doesn't reflect in my heart. Thus, you are my only refuge. Tasma tomeva sharanam mama dina bandho. You are my only refuge. See, the same sentiment comes here. So, you're not saying that I have many sources. You're just one. You are my only one, Swami. You let me down and that's it. In fact, brother, you remember when you used to apply for admissions in the institute?
Yes.
One question which used to be asked is, have you applied for any other institute? Remember this?
Yes.
And I remember, I don't know if it's really true, but you know, they used to always say that boys who say no, I mean, they were considered, you know, one step higher in terms of I don't know if that's true, huh? At least that used to be the rumor and the imagination.
Mm.
And I still remember when I had to apply, we had struck no. And honestly, there was no backup plan. Which means if Swami had not given a BCom admission, you don't know where to go.
Yeah.
And all of the schools...
God should not be a choice for you.
Exactly.
God is your destination.
Absolutely. And you know, and you kind of jump in. He's an abyss.
Yes.
Because I remember, again, I forget who said this, but a Western philosopher very beautifully said this. He said, a mystic is a person who has the courage to surrender to a love which is higher than human.
Yes.
You know, because it's not very difficult to surrender to a love which is higher than you. Because here also you say, you are the only one who sheds true love on me. Now, true love, as fascinating as it sounds, is very difficult, brother. You know that. Because he has his own brand of love.
Yes.
He'll do something which is good for you, which is not necessarily pleasant.
And even comfortable.
Uncomfortable. And often puts you outside your comfort zone. And in many cases, you don't know where he's going.
Yes.
So what happens is it can be very unnerving.
Absolutely.
And at that point of time, I think it requires real courage to hand over the control to him and say, okay, you take me wherever you want. You know, like the kitten.
Yes.
The mother kitten, says, you take me, mother cat, you take me wherever you want. So I think a true mystic is somebody who has the courage to surrender to a love which is higher than human. And that's what it is.
And to surrender to such a love, what you need is that inner strength. You need that independence.
Independence, absolutely.
You need that self-confidence with capital S. I always say, you know, when all these talk about, you know, building self-confidence, you have so many books on positive thinking and, you know, your self-help books, which talk so much about self-confidence.
Hmm.
But rarely is there any book which gives this perspective of self-confidence is not improving your skills or, you know, refining your abilities or becoming proficient in your talents. Self-confidence is first to know that you are dependent on that capital S.
Absolutely.
That self is not that little self that you are.
Yeah, yeah. Like around the same time of the year. So I think it's important to, maybe it's appropriate to mention this here. Around, I think it must have been many years before, maybe during the Dasara time when Swami used to have these Kavi Sammelans.
Yes.
Kasturi sir goes up on the stage and he recites what sounded like a nursery rhyme. He says, twinkle, twinkle, little star. And then he gives a beautiful twist. Instead of saying, how I wonder what you are, he says, twinkle, twinkle, little star, have you wondered what you are? And I think it's like, and then he goes on to say, your Baba spark or twinkle star. I think the moment you start realizing that you are actually that small spark of that cosmic mega force called Swami who created the entire cosmos, that's that self-confidence with that capital S.
Yes.
And the moment you do that, what happens is you're no longer dependent on the external faculties. You are dependent on that one. And somewhere that confidence comes, you know, I am Swami's child.
Yes. And you are also in tune with an infinite resource.
Exactly.
See, that is what gives you so much strength, because you're now not limited to your own little competencies and capabilities, but you actually are within the reach of a resource that has no limits.
Like they say, the cloud. Actually, it's the cloud now. You know, they're called cloud computing nowadays. You literally tap into the cloud.
Yes.
So the cloud that he is.
Cloud, that cosmic consciousness, all the power is there. So there's nothing that is impossible. As I say, you know, everything is impossible.
Impossible. Nicely said.
So once you are independent, there is nothing impossible. Everything is impossible.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And if you go by the Sanskrit word also, what is Swarajya? Swa there is actually, Swami says it refers to the Atma.
It refers to the Atma.
It does not refer to self-rule. Doesn't mean, you know, rule by a few people, by your own few other citizens ruling you.
Yeah.
That is not what is Swaraj.
And even if it means self-rule, like you very beautifully put it, brother, it's the capital self, you know, self
so
is the capital.
Each person is governed, self-ruled and governed by that capital S.
Exactly.
By that higher self.
In fact, if you remember, when I visited last week, we had that beautiful puppet show, which happened here again when Shri Poppet spoke, Ajit Poppet spoke so beautifully. He said that, I think Swami told him, saying that, puppet, let me operate, you just cooperate. Because if you decide to operate, I may not cooperate. So I was just thinking, because if you see the essence of Ramavatar, Swami says, what you face in life is destiny, but how you face it is self-effort. So there is a time and place for self-effort and independent will. So that set me wondering, saying, are we doing something wrong by trying to exercise? Because Swami also says, yatna prayatnamu manava dharmamu jayapa jayamulu devadinamu. So is there anything wrong in using your independent will? Then I realized, no. Independent will can be used provided it is in sync with the conscience.
Absolutely.
If you use it in sync, because then I think if you operate, he will cooperate.
Yeah.
Because you are basically doing
then
his
actually,
own bidding.
Yeah, then actually you actually become a medium. It's like the moment that ego goes and God enters, then it is nothing like you executing anything.
It's Krishna's flute.
Yeah, you just only become a medium. Like finally Arjuna surrenders and says, Karishta Vachanam Dava, I don't know.
Exactly.
I don't want to think.
Yes.
I don't know what is right and
wrong. In fact, you cease to exist, I guess. After that, it is only he.
Yeah.
It's only he. And
very difficult for me to decide. There are so many, which is white, which is black, which is grey. I have no clue.
Yes.
I just want to do whatever you say. Let me just become completely empty and you take over. I think that is
exactly
once we believe in that Atma Rama.
Yes.
And start, you know, as you very beautifully said, start becoming independent. This bhajan has such profound meaning.
I
don't know if I also ever really dwelt so much on this bhajan.
No, same here, brother. I guess for a few minutes, we were also on cloud. So, cloud nine.
Cloud nine, exactly.
But yes, to sum up, I think I like the cheekiness of this bhajan because somewhere you're walking up to him and say, see, you're supposed to be all this. His job description and say, you're all this, so better protect me. I have no other backup, by the way.
Wow, wonderful. I think, but, you know, the melody of the bhajan is such, you know, it's so much of, there is a streak of melancholy, there is a streak of that pathetic pining for the Lord. So it builds up such beautiful emotions, but from that bhakti, it takes us to that level of jnana.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
That is so beautiful in this bhajan.
Yeah, because I mean, in between, yes, there is melancholy. Especially when tum bina koi nahi rakhwale, tum bina koi nahi aapat sahare, is all melancholy. Mm. But tum bina prema koi nahi dene wale, is all there only. Mm. But then somehow the realization comes, you know, that sense of surrender, of letting go.
Yeah.
Tum ho mere atma ram baba.
The Draupadi moment.
Draupadi moment, absolutely. And after that, no, that's immense sense of relief. Sweeps in Bhagwan Tumara Naam. And it's not some Bhagwan, it's my own Swami. Sai Ram Tumara Naam, Sai Ram.
Ultimately, it comes down to the name of the Lord
and the name which we, you know, love the most, you know, His form, His name.
Yes.
How can you ever think of a name and form after seeing this one?
Wonderful. Fantastic. Thank you so much, brother. I know we can go on. There is a time limitation. That is the reason why we need to bring this discussion to a temporary pause. But otherwise, I think it is now for all devotees to take on, you know, a few threads that Bhagwan has allowed us to open in this discussion. And each devotee can open his own thread from this bhajan. And, you know,
and search for independence, I guess.
Yeah. And really become independent.
Really become independent. Sense. Yes.
Wonderful. Thank you very much, brother.
Sairam.
That was Brother Balram Chandran, a member of the Prashanti Mandir Bhajan group when he was a student in Bhagwan's university and someone who sings regularly in Bhagwan's abode in Sundaram, Chennai. And that takes us to the last part of this classroom. We will now listen to the Mandir version of this bhajan as it is offered in the Sai Kulwant Hall by the students of Bhagwan's University.
Sai Ram Ghanshyam Bhagwan Tumhara Naam. Bhagwan Tumhara Naam. Tum bin koi nahi rakhwale. बिन कोई नहीं रखवाले तुम बिन कोई नहीं आपाए तुम बिन कोई नहीं आपाए सहारे Mere Atma Ram Baba.
भगवान तुम्हारा भगवान तुम्हारा तुम बिन कोई नहीं रखवाले तुम बिन कोई नहीं अपार सहारे भगवान तुम्हारा साई राम तुम्हारा साई
With that, we have come to the end of this episode of Radio Sai Bhajan Classroom. The audio engineers for this program are Sunil and Abhishek, and the background score was done by another alumnus from Chennai, T.S. Ramakrishnan. With gratitude and love, we offer this endeavor at his lotus feet.